This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan, as we get ready for round two. Dallas, Winnipeg. We go behind enemy lines, which is tough to say because he's not an enemy. He's a friend of the program. Connor Hrabcek for Sports Talk Winnipeg. He's also works for Illegal Curve, covers the Jets there. He's also the co-host of a great podcast, Level Flight Winnipeg. And you guys hear me like pump Connor's tires, and I was thinking, all right, how can I pump Connor's tires today? So I'll use the example. Have you ever been in like a bar that has like this band playing and you're like, man, this is a really good band? And then all of a sudden that band goes on to be like something special. Connor Hrabcek joins us. How are you, buddy?
You keep finding ways to one up the compliments as I come into the show. I'm doing great. I said last time I was on here, I really hope we have a playoff preview episode. And here we are. This is awesome. I'm super fired up for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Connor Hrabcek, future Hockey Night in Canada host. Just throwing it out.
Wow.
There. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean,
wow,
Ron McLean,
that is high praise.
McLean has to retire sometime, right? Let's hope okay. It's never, okay. But yeah. All right.
Let's just focus on Wednesday.
How about that? We focus on Wednesday. And all right, pulling back the curtain, you are at the game. There is a rule in the media that you cannot cheer in the press box. And that's one of the reasons that I was a Stars season ticket holder for 20 years, is that I love the feel of being in the crowd and love to be able to jump and get that emotion. Did those rules apply when the Jets were able to score two goals in a matter of minutes to send this into overtime?
I think the rules were pushed to the limit. I don't think we went overboard. I can speak for myself that, you know, I wasn't like clapping or anything, but how could you not have emotion and say like, wow, like that was incredible, and be freaking out? We were all, you know, saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. It was unbelievable. And the whole crowd was going nuts. Everyone stood in the crowd for the entirety of the intermission, and then the entirety of both overtimes. It was the most improbable Game 7 comeback in NHL history. The latest game-tying Game 7 goal in NHL history from Cole Perfetti. And it was the best Winnipeg Jets game since they came back, easily. Game 7 of the playoffs, you tie the game with 1.6 seconds left, and you go on to win in double OT in front of the home crowd. What a night it was Sunday night. I still can't believe it. I think 30, 40 years from now, I'll be saying I still can't believe it that they tied that game and ended up winning it. Mentally, I was on to the offseason. Like, they were down 3-1, 2 minutes left. I think that's a little bit early, I guess, for me to be thinking that. But I definitely won't be thinking that anymore, because what an incredible game. And yeah, it was tough to hold back up there in the press box because that was incredible.
We don't appreciate you guys saying, hold my beer, because our Game 7 was pretty darn special as well.
No kidding. Yeah. I mean, these teams have so many similarities in terms of their first round. Like, you guys were the Robertson and Heiskanen. By the end of this series, Scheifele and Morrissey were both out for Winnipeg. Both overcame two-goal deficits in dramatic fashion. Dallas with Mikko Rantanen sending the Avs packing. Like, what's more dramatic than that? Oh, maybe tying the game with 1.6 seconds left. Maybe that's what's more dramatic. Unbelievable weekend of hockey. Like, I had the pleasure of sitting down on the couch and taking in that Dallas Avs game with no rooting interest, of course. Mikko Rantanen with the hat trick to send the Avs home. Like, so poetic. And then the Jets game obviously was incredible as well, like I said.
Was there a sense, as far as the Winnipeg fan base, were they happy that Colorado was gone based on what happened Winnipeg, Colorado last year? Are they happy to see Dallas?
I think you could say that. I mean, you're at the point of the playoffs now where there's eight teams left. Every team is a cup contender, you know? So, like, whether it was Dallas or Colorado, no one in Winnipeg is necessarily like cheering. Like, yes, we got Dallas. This is amazing. Like, Dallas is a wagon. And they beat Colorado, so they're better than Colorado, right? I will say, in terms of the matchup, I think Colorado's speed with MacKinnon and Makar would have given the Jets a lot of troubles. And Colorado put the blueprint forward last year on how to beat Connor Hellebuyck and beat the Jets in the playoffs. So I think Jets fans are less anxious with a Dallas matchup than they would be a Colorado one. Not to say that it's a better matchup or an easier matchup by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that Jets fans are much, much happier with a Dallas matchup than Colorado. And that's not taking anything away from Dallas. That's just because Colorado beat them 12 months ago, pretty handedly.
Pete DeBoer said that you will see Jason Robertson and Miro Heiskanen in this series. From a Winnipeg perspective, what is the status of Josh Morrissey and Mark Scheifele? Because you're right, it is an amazing comparison. You have it. Top defenseman and a top forward out for each team.
Yeah, so Josh Morrissey is the one that we're less sure about. He left game seven. He only played 2 minutes in that game. The Jets were down to five defensemen for the entirety of a double OT game seven. Neil Pionk ended up playing 46 minutes, which is incredible. I'm sore just saying those words. And so Josh Morrissey is a little bit more of a question mark after a big double OT game seven win. Scarter Neil didn't provide us with any information, which, like, nor should he after a win of that magnitude. Mark Scheifele, the day before game seven, was listed as a game time decision for the game. And then morning skate, he wasn't out there with the team and they ruled him out then. So I think he's going to be a lot closer to returning. Obviously, we don't know. Josh Morrissey could be fine. He could be in the lineup game one, but we're not 100% sure on that. As for Mark Scheifele, I think he's going to return early in this series, because if he was a game time decision heading into game seven a day before, I'm not sure if that was posturing by Scarter Neil, you know, gamesmanship between coaches going into the playoffs, going into a game seven, excuse me. But I do think Mark Scheifele is close to returning. And if we don't see him in game one on Wednesday, I think we'll see him back early in this series as well.
59 shifts for Neil Pionk, 46-15 time on ice, like you mentioned. It's just a warrior mentality. And the other thing you look at, which is just, and I know this can be a deceptive stat, hits 73 for Winnipeg, 49 for the Blues.
That was like, I've watched a lot of playoff hockey the last 4 years, specifically when I really started, you know, diving headfirst into this hockey media thing. This was the most physical series I've ever seen. Like, easily. There were just massive hits game after game. Every single time a puck got dumped into the corner, the defensemen on both sides were getting absolutely crunched. Like, the only player that didn't really get hit that hard in this series, I think, was Colton Parayko for the Blues, because he's 6'6", 230 pounds or whatever, super mobile. Like, he did a great job protecting himself. And frankly, a player that big, like, you can't hit them hard. So he did a great job protecting himself. But every other player, like Josh Morrissey specifically, they would just dump the puck into this corner and just run him. Mostly clean hits for the majority of the series, especially on Josh Morrissey. The Mark Scheifele one, it's been a big talking point in terms of whether it's clean or not. That one, it looked to me like Braden Schenn left his feet. But hey, we can talk about round two and Mark Scheifele's potential availability, because the Jets went on and won without him. Neil Pionk, like you said, He's the first player to log over 40 minutes in a Game 7 since Chris Pronger and Al MacInnis did it for the Blues in 1999 against the Coyotes. So it's been a while since someone logged over 40 minutes in a Game 7. And that's what the playoffs call for, is players stepping up, players playing in roles that are higher up than usual. You know that very well in Dallas. I see Thomas Harley's time on ice every single night, and I'm just in awe of how he's playing 30 minutes a night. And it's incredible. That series was so physical. And last thing I'll say on that is, you're the President's Trophy winning team. You're the number one team in the West. Theoretically, as the number one seed, you're like, great, we get the easiest matchup. And maybe St. Louis was technically the easiest matchup in the West. They pushed the Jets as close as you possibly could as an 8 seed, but the Jets are coming out of this series hurt. Like, make no mistake about it. This was an insanely physical series. St. Louis hit them every single chance they had, and whether or not it was an easy series as a 1-8, which is like technically you're supposed to get the easiest matchup, the Blues from the very first shift in Game 1 to the very final shift in Game 7 were trying to take a chunk out of the Winnipeg Jets, and both teams did on both sides, and the Jets came out on top.
I'm interested for the defensive insertion of Hayden Fleury. Only 2 games in this series, played a lot of minutes, over 33 minutes in that double overtime game, but it's fascinating. What did he bring to the table that changed this series?
It's incredible how the playoffs, like, depth players just come out of nowhere. So Logan Stanley had been in the lineup basically every single game, except for the only other game Hayden Fleury played, like you mentioned. And Logan Stanley was injured going into Game 7. So Hayden Fleury stepped into the lineup just as a third pairing defenseman. I said on a pregame show that I didn't think he was going to play all that much. And he came in, and Josh Morrissey gets hurt 2 minutes in, right? 2 minutes into the game, Josh Morrissey's out. So Hayden Fleury ends up playing 33 minutes and incredibly effective in those minutes. He was moving the puck up the ice well. He was protecting himself well. He threw some big hits. The Jets' D-to-D passes in the offensive zone were on point. Like, they were generating so much offense from that in the offensive zone. And this is what Game 7, this is what the playoffs are all about. Just like random depth players being Game 7 legends. And it was Hayden Fleury for Winnipeg for sure. Obviously, Cole Perfetti had the 2 goals, and Neil Pionk played 46 minutes, the game of his life. But for the unsung hero that came out of nowhere, Hayden Fleury played an incredible game. And he'll be someone to watch for, especially if Josh Morrissey's out. I think he's earned. He'll be in Game 1, like, no matter the status of Logan Stanley. As for Josh Morrissey, Hayden Fleury might be higher up in the lineup than initially expected.
The chatter of Connor Hellebuck after this season, obviously Vezina, but then we get to the playoffs, and you guys talk about this. I think the hockey world talks about, yeah, but Connor Hellebuck in the playoffs, and then we see what happens in Round 1. Anything latest as far as Hellebuck confidence-wise? I mean, he came up big when he needed to in that Game 7 after, you know, St. Louis jumped on the board 2-0. And then, I mean, credit to him, you know, psychology-wise, he could have just lost it, but he didn't.
Yeah, make no mistake, like, Connor Hellebuck was simply not good enough for the Winnipeg Jets in Round 1. He, you could argue he's the reason that the series went to 7. Like, he finished the series with, I believe, an .830 save percentage. And that's your Vezina Hart Trophy winning goaltender. Like, that's just not good enough. Having said that, Game 7, he lets in the 2 shaky ones early. Everyone's thinking, oh my goodness, here we go again. Connor Hellebuck in the playoffs. He's going to let the Jets down on the biggest stage, Game 7, in front of the home crowd. And then the Jets miraculously tie the game. And in overtime, St. Louis had plenty of chances to win that game. And Connor Hellebuck looked like the Connor Hellebuck we know, the Connor Hellebuck we saw for 60-plus games in the regular season, the Connor Hellebuck that's nominated for the Hart. Because not only did St. Louis have high danger chances and Connor Hellebuck was saving them, but there were no rebounds. If you're looking for a dialed-in Connor Hellebuck, it's when he's making massive saves look routine with no rebound. That's what makes him so good. The big and boring style. He's always in the right spot. He's always swallowing up rebounds. That's what we saw from Connor Hellebuck in overtime. And I said after the game that this could potentially be a playoff turning point for Connor Hellebuck to rise to the occasion in a Game 7 overtime. Get those nerves out of your system. You won a playoff round. You're playing with house money now. You probably shouldn't have even won that Game 7 anyways. And now it's all systems go for round two, where Connor Hellebuyck has to be a lot better or else the Jets will have no chance. Like, that's just putting it bluntly, but it's the truth.
We talked during the regular season about the Jets' dominance over Dallas. I felt as though Dallas won one period, basically the entire series, and that was the third period in which they came back to win that game. But how much of that do you feel will translate into the playoffs?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so last year the Jets swept the Colorado Avalanche in the regular season and beat them 7-0 a week before the playoffs and went on an 8-game win streak. And then we know what happened in the first round. Like, the Jets looked like an AHL team. Stars and four. There you go. No. But I do think some of it can translate, but I think after last season, Jets fans and media in this market are taking a lot less stock into like the season series battle. I will say as well, going into round one, I'll be completely honest with your Stars viewers here, I was not more confident about any other series than I was Colorado beating Dallas. Like, Colorado looked like an absolute buzzsaw the last month of the season. Dallas lost, what, 7 straight to close the regular season. We saw the Dallas Stars twice against the Jets, and both games, I was like, what is going on with this team? The Jets just absolutely rolled them. And clearly, Dallas flipped a switch and ended up winning this series. So I think in that sense, I'm not really taking anything from the regular season going into this series, because the Dallas team we saw play Winnipeg 2 times in the final month of the season is not the same team as they are right now. Like, simply put, I watched so many Dallas games down the stretch, and that did not look like a good team to me. And I picked Colorado in 5, I believe, to be completely honest with your viewers again. And yeah, clearly Dallas has flipped a switch somehow, some way.
How much talk is there about Mikko Rantanen up there?
A lot. I think him having however many points it was in the final 2-3 games there and really flipping a switch and the hat trick to put the Avs away. Like, Mikko Rantanen was a player that burned the Jets last year too in that first round series. And Mikko Rantanen is known as a playoff performer. Like, his playoff stats are great. And the first couple of games, he only had the 1 assist. And it was like, what's going on here? And did Dallas make a mistake? Absolutely not. Mikko Rantanen is a top 10 player in the league. He's maybe the best winger in the NHL, and he proved that in the last couple of games there. And that's what I talk about, the unsung heroes, and late in series, you see random depth players step up. That doesn't happen unless your star players show up. Your best players have to be your best players, is the cliche that all the coaches use all the time. And when your best players are your best players, they can outright win you games. They can outright win you series. That's what the Jets are hoping for from Connor Hellebuyck. That's what the Stars are hoping for from Mikko Rantanen. He is at the top of the list of players that the Jets will need to shut down in this series if they want to have a chance.
Shout out to 15-gamer Vladislav Nemestikov for that big goal as well in that double OT.
I was just going up
and down the lineup as far as, you know, familiarity and stuff. Obviously, there was the bonus connection before he retired.
Yeah, Vlad Nemestikov. After the trade deadline, everyone was kind of meh about him being the second line center on this team. Then Mark Scheifele goes out in the first period of Game 5, and ultimately, Nemestikov is the first line center of this team.
Yeah,
and he scores in Game 5, a big goal to give the Jets a 4-2 lead. Game 6, like, the biggest thing for the Jets in this series is they need to show up on the road. I've like erased all the 3 road games from my memory because the Jets just didn't show up in any of the games in St. Louis. It was pretty remarkable, to be honest, how the home team just seemed to get the better of each team in each game. So that's something to watch for, is Dallas having that home ice, not home ice advantage, but when the series shifts to Dallas, how do the Jets respond? Because they were the best team in the regular season on the road. So that some of that has to translate, right? You have to think. But Vlad Nemestikov, yeah, gets the goal to make it 3-2 with 2 minutes left in Game 7. Cole Perfetti with the deflection with 1.6 left. And then Adam Lowry, the captain, in overtime. Just an incredible job from Nemestikov, who, like I said, was kind of disrespected as the second-line center and thrust into the top-line center role and came up big with 2 goals, one in Game 5 and one in Game 7.
Yeah. I would say the heartbeat of Winnipeg, would you agree, is Adam Lowry, the captain, and the momentum that, whether it's physicality, whether it's getting a big goal, a nice shift, Winnipeg forever. I mean, the guy is just very similar to Jamie Benn here as far as, you know, the guy when you think of the identity of Winnipeg, Adam Lowry certainly comes to mind.
Absolutely. He's the captain. This culture in the room in Winnipeg with the Jets has changed so much over these past 2-3 years when Lowry's been captain. They took the captaincy away from Blake Wheeler. It started a new era with Adam Lowry wearing the C. And he embodies the Winnipeg Jets. He plays on their identity line, on their third line with Niederreiter and Appleton. Well, he was playing up in the lineup for Game 7 because, like I said, Scheifele was out. But in a normal world with Mark Scheifele healthy, he's on the Jets' identity line. And even when he's not scoring, he's setting the tone. Like, I can recall Game 1 against the St. Louis Blues. The Jets came out, first game in front of the whiteout. Not a ton of pressure, but like, it's Game 1, it's the playoffs, you're the President's Trophy winning team. They came out so nervous in the first 10 minutes. The puck was a grenade. They could not hold on to it for more than a second. And the Blues ended up taking a 1-0, and eventually they lost that game. The Jets ended up winning 5-3 after an empty netter by Adam Lowry. But the first 5 minutes, the Jets were so nervous. Adam Lowry comes out and is barreling down the ice and crunches Ryan Suter into the boards, and the whiteout goes nuts. It's like a massive hit, and that really like settled things down. And from that point forward, the Jets were the better team in that game. So not only like Adam Lowry is a player that for the minutes he plays, you need him to score goals. And he had 2 empty netters and then the game winner in Game 7 and double OT. But he does so much more than that. He's a defensive center. He sets the tone. He's physical. He's in on the forecheck. He's a penalty killer. He wins faceoffs, and above all else, he embodies what it means to be a Winnipeg Jet wearing the C, and the culture of this team has improved drastically these past 2 seasons.
I always like to give out a game plan. And first of all, Stars fans, Kyle Connor is an absolute Stars killer. So if there's a player to watch, watch out for Kyle Connor. Not only did he have a career year, he's just a beast as far as a forward, but he seems to rise to the occasion against Dallas all the time. But my friend, I also like to kind of peel back and ask you, as far as Winnipeg's playbook their strengths that they'll try to implement against Dallas, but also what are their weaknesses that if you see the Stars doing, you know they can have success against the Jets?
That is a great question. The weakness, I would say, these past two playoff years, and especially round one against St. Louis, where, well, and Colorado as well, I'll just loop both of those series together, even though the Jets won this first round, was getting screened shots on Connor Hellebuyck. I think that is the way, like, he had an .830 save percentage, so clearly that's the way to beat him, is to have these point shots, to get pucks through layered screens, make sure that Connor Hellebuyck can't see. And the Jets aren't the greatest, or they haven't been the greatest, at boxing out in front of him, which makes it their biggest weakness. Like, any team can say, yeah, let's get eyes in front of their goalie. Like, that's simple hockey. That's what you want to do every single game. But it's boxing out and responding to that the Jets maybe aren't the greatest at. So if there's one thing the Stars can really take advantage of, it's getting Mikko Rantanen off the rush, getting Thomas Harley and Miro Heiskanen eventually walking the line, getting those big bodies in front of Connor Hellebuyck, making sure he can't see, and fighting for body positioning in front. Because there have been over half of the Winnipeg Jets goals against over these past two playoff runs have been screened point shots. Like, we're at the point where when a player winds up for a soft wrist shot from the point, it feels like a high danger chance. That's where we're at in Winnipeg. So that's the biggest weakness that the Jets will absolutely have to clean up going into round two. When the Jets are playing their style of game and what they are their best at and their strength that Stars fans should be watching for is their neutral zone defense, in my opinion. When teams can't enter the zone on the Jets, they are such a tough out, because then teams start dumping the puck in and the Jets can really get to those zone exits and get out of their zone quicker. But it all starts in the neutral zone. I'll have to bring up Dylan Sandberg, who is maybe the best defenseman in the league, or top three at minimum, at shutting plays down in the neutral zone, knocking pucks out of the air, keeping a tight gap on forwards coming into the zone. Like, he is so good at that. And when the Jets are on, they're forechecking, teams are getting out of their zone, but barely, because in the neutral zone, the Jets are getting the puck right back, moving it up and getting right back to their forecheck and handing off to that Scheifele line, to the Ehlers line. And it's just a barrage and an avalanche of offense, and the other team not being able to get out of their zone. And that makes Connor Hellebuyck, you know, pretty just back there waiting for a shot, is when the Winnipeg Jets are playing their best. Like, I remember game one, St. Louis finished the game with 17 shots on goal, and Connor Hellebuyck let in three of them because, like I said, he struggled in this series. But that's when the Jets are at their best, is when teams are barely cracking 20 shots on goal because they can't even enter the zone. So that's something that Stars fans should watch for, is how do the Stars attack the Jets in the neutral zone, and do they rely on dumping the puck in? Do they try and carry it more? Because that's when the Jets are at their best.
Well, we don't perform well in game one. I know you know that statistic. Game seven, if it's a game seven, we're in, baby. You know, Pete DeBoer, 9-0, we're in. Even though it's in Winnipeg, we're in. But game one, you know, we can skip to game two.
I am really interested to see how the Jets play in game one, because game seven was the biggest, like, emotional high this group has ever been on.
Right.
Ever. So how do they maintain it? How do they get right back up for another game? Like, that's really something that I'm looking forward to watching on Wednesday night, because this group didn't practice on Monday, the day after the game. They're having an optional today on Tuesday. Like, it's just such an emotional high. They're so bruised from this series. It'll be really interesting to see game one.
Yeah. I think I also tell Stars fans, like, just enjoy the ride, because at this stage, I mean, look at the Central Division and the gauntlet, just the division where you had both Minnesota and St. Louis take Dallas and Winnipeg and Vegas to the limit. And then you had Colorado with Dallas. So it's one of the, and Utah's on the way up. There are just, it is a very, very tough, but I mean, if you lose to Winnipeg, I mean, they're the President's Trophy winners. So, you know, just like last year, Stars fans are like, oh man, we had a tough draw. We had to play Vegas and then Colorado. Well, this year you have Colorado and Winnipeg. So I don't know if there are any series now in the NHL where you looked at it, even like the Capitals, Montreal. I'm like, they're going to challenge them at times. I don't think there's a 1-8 matchup. And that really shows the strength of the NHL right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was getting to with the Blues. Like, the Jets won the President's Trophy, and their reward for that was a team that went 19-4-3 since Four Nations and was incredibly physical. Like, the Jets didn't make it out of this series healthy, and they were playing the best team in the NHL since the Four Nations break. So, yes, it's the easiest matchup because it's 1 versus 8. And I think that expectation maybe hurt the Jets a little bit because everyone's like, oh my goodness, how could the Jets not just sweep this or take it in five? But if you look under the hood, like, the St. Louis Blues were incredible from the Four Nations break to the end of the season. And there's a reason for that. Like, Robert Thomas was a problem. He was one of the, he was the leading scorer in the league in that time as well. So I don't know. I agree with you. There are no easy matchups in the NHL anymore, especially that even if a series goes 5 or 6 games, the series in the West specifically, I think the East, they're playing a whole different sport out there.
Yeah.
But in the West, it's so physical. Like,
right.
it is like a bloodbath every single series. The East is like, you touch someone and it's a penalty. But in the West, we know that it's incredibly physical. And you're lucky to make it out of series healthy. So that's why I'm so fired up for this one. Jets, Stars, it's going to be physical. It's going to be a deep series, I think. It's going to be great.
I'm just saying, you're going to be there for games 1 and 2. Hold on to your seat if Lowry and Bischel get together, because that is earth-shaking. Those are two large men on the ice. And it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, Liam Bischel plays like 12 minutes a night and makes this incredible impact. I mean, future top forward defenseman, but for now, third pairing. And it's just, you know, it's so fascinating. And, you know, one of the things that we don't talk about in Dallas too much is, well, we talk about it on Spits and Suds, but the scratch of Matt Dumba throughout the series, not playing, pretty amazing. You know, I mean, how many times, my friend, have you known of a player like Alex Petrovic who plays in the minor leagues for 2 straight years, but comes up and plays minutes during the playoffs effectively? It's just so, I can't think of a player that has done that.
Yeah, I mean, that is incredible, because one thing that when you look at the Dallas Stars on paper, they obviously don't have Miro Heiskanen right now, but from an outsider's perspective, like, the right side of that defense core is their weakness.
Yeah,
or at least that's what I would say. CeCe, Labushkin, and it would have been Dumba, but Petrovic, if he can come in on that third pair and be effective in those minutes with Bischel, who, like you said, you know, they're
two
barely playing, they're playing, and like, yeah, the two physical players. Like, again, this is the playoffs too, where third pairs matter less, fourth lines matter less. Like, people will try and hype those players up, and like, they should. Like, Liam Bischel, if he's incredible in his 12 minutes, absolutely. But like, Thomas Harley playing 30 is a much bigger like impact, of course, than a weakness on the third pair. Like, the Jets' third pair is weak as well, no matter who's on it. It's definitely a weakness for them, but it's going to come down to Josh Morrissey and Dylan Sandberg anyways, and Connor Hellebuyck anyways, right? I think that it's the cliche of your best players have to be your best players, but if players can come in at the edge of the lineup and make a massive impact like that, that is so huge for a playoff series.
Texas barbecue or Winnipeg honey dill sauce?
Honey dill sauce all day.
God.
Easily.
I thought by having you on the program, you'd come to our side, maybe get a little Texas accent going.
No way. Absolutely not.
All right.
No.
Well, you're one of our favorites. So, you know, what we try to do here on Spits and Suds is to give a different perspective, and Connor certainly does that. So be sure to subscribe and check out his podcast, because you're going to get a lot of Winnipeg Jets nuggets. Level Flight Winnipeg. That's Level Flight WPG. And you can also check out on YouTube Sports Talk Winnipeg. And he writes for Illegal Curve. You're a beast, my friend. Thank you so much for the preview.
Thanks for doing this, Gavin. I'm looking forward to talking all series long. This is going to be a fun one.
I hope it's going to be a fun one. Absolutely. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm excited. I'm ready. I think both of us
that
are ready.
Two of us.
Yeah, we're ready to move on to the next round. And oh yeah, it's just either Vegas or Edmonton. Just, you know, two softies, right?
Yeah, exactly. Easy matchup. The matchups get way easier as you go. That's what people tell me.
So. Oh, thank you so much, Connor Hrabcek. And that's going to do it for another episode of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle. We're actually doing a doubleheader today from the Stars perspective, starsthoughts.com. Our friend at Spits and Suds, Robert Tiffin, will join us later today. So you get a doubleheader preview of Stars Winnipeg's coming up. And that's going to happen right here on Spits and Suds. Until then, have a great day, everyone.